Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back. That was a great discussion we had with Abraham Hamilton III and Pastor Rich. What was his last name? Rich?
Penkoski.
Penkoski. Yep. Okay, and where was he from?
He's from West Virginia. He's a church and ministry out of West Virginia.
All right. Great conversation. Some real important issues. All right, Steve Jordahl, let's continue on with the news of the day.
We had a ruling from the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeal on Texas, the sanctuary city policy there. The backstory is that Texas is taking a pretty hard line on sanctuary cities in that state. Austin, I think, is one of those cities, and some of the more liberal parts down in Texas. And the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals said it upheld most of Texas's law targeting sanctuary cities, and it allows police officers in Texas to ask people their immigration status during routine traffic stops, for example. And the other thing it does is it threatens jail time with for city officials who do not comply with federal immigration authority. So they're taking the fight to Texas. And the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, for what it's worth, says, yeah, most of these laws that you are passing are okay. The other parties that are squabbling over this, of course, California is declared itself a sanctuary state. And there was recently a dust-up between California Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi and ICE. And so Nancy Pelosi had, she said that the ICE raids that they're doing out there are
cowardly.
Thank you. That's the word I was looking
this
for.
This is ICE. It's Immigration and Customs Enforcement.
Immigration and Customs Enforcement. They're the people that go in and they will check if a person is supposed to be there. They will enforce visas and that kind of stuff. And so Nancy Pelosi called the ICE raids in Oakland, and the mayor of Oakland, of course, you remember, gave a heads up to everybody in the town that ICE was coming to town, so you better run. And about 500 people did run, and who would have been targeted were not arrested. This, I want to play you a clip of Thomas Holman, who's the acting ICE director. He was on with Stuart Varney of Fox Business, and they were talking about the cowardly charge. Cut five.
Four. Nancy Pelosi has repeatedly called Mr. Trump's enforcement efforts cowardly.
Well, not only did she say they were cowardly, she said that, you know, ICE was terrorizing immigrant communities. First of all, you're talking about law enforcement officers. These are men and women that put their lives on the line for this country every day. They strap a gun to their hip and leave the safety and security of their homes to defend this nation. So how dare you call them cowardly? Hmm. And to say that we're terrorizing immigrant communities. The people we arrested during these California operations, looting the city of its acts with a juvenile, assault with deadly weapons, murder, these people were terrorizing immigrant communities. ICE went in there and removed these people from the community. So that's far from terrorizing. We're protecting people. We're protecting the American public.
That's a great point, because that is, in these ICE raids, generally speaking, correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, are to go in and capture individuals who are here in the country illegally, but who have committed additional crimes, right?
There's several things that ICE does, and they have several goals. Oftentimes, ICE will go into a business, and they are there to make sure that everybody that is in the business, that is hiring there, that everybody that's working there, is a legal resident of the United States. So they have seen those kind of raids, and I think those were the kind of raids that the mayor of Oakland had a problem with. In fact, not only did she say that it was wrong for ICE to go in there, but she said any business that entertains those questions and answers those questions is breaking California law. So the mayor of Oakland threatened businesses with jail time and go ahead.
So does federal law require all businesses to make sure that their employees are legal?
I believe they are. It's when you go in and you apply for a job, when you e-verify, but when you go and you apply for a job, you will always see a question there: do you have the right to work in this country legally? So,
so there's a conflict then between California law and federal law. California's threatening businesses who do what federal law tells them they must do.
Yeah, yes. In essence. That's what's happening.
Yeah, and it's one thing for a business to hire an illegal immigrant and not follow federal law, e-verify, But it's another thing for the state to threaten to punish the business who chooses to follow federal law.
Right.
When it comes to hiring practices. So that's the conflict here. It's a very unusual circumstance where you have states punishing those who abide by federal law.
Yeah, no, and unfortunately, it's not quite as rare as we would want to see. I know that Colorado had some problems when they passed their recreational marijuana law, for example, that there was a conflict between federal law and state law, and the state was on the one that was saying we're okay with this, but the federal law, the federal agents never let up on that. They never relented. Under President Obama, they did kind of start to back off and say, well, we're not going to go ahead and prosecute. But President Trump and his Justice Department, they are more to the letter of the law. And so it happens.
Well, this to me is, and this goes back to our earlier conversation about the difference between old school liberals and the current crop of increasingly more radical secular progressives. And this is what I mean. Is that secular progressives seem to be okay with anarchy. And if you don't think what California has done is a threat to our republic, which operates on the basis of federalism, okay, federal government has certain responsibilities, state, local, just imagine if states that are primarily pro-life said, we're going to pass laws banning abortion. And what we are going to do is we are going to go after abortionists who perform abortionists. The Supreme Court has said it's legal, and laws against it have been struck down, but we don't care. We're going to make this a sanctuary state.
For the unborn.
For the unborn. And we're going to put in jail anyone who performs an abortion in this state. So federal government, get lost.
That would be a very apt analogy.
And we're going to jail those who tip off.
Yes.
The federal government that we're doing this.
Yeah. And so what I'm saying is there are certain rules we all have to play by, even if we don't like them, and even if we vehemently disagree. But the moment you say we don't care what the law is, we're going to do things our own way, you could have states that disagree with the Heller decision on Second Amendment rights and say, we don't care what the Supreme Court says. We're going to start arresting you if you own guns. We're going to confiscate your guns. This is what I'm saying. And I believe it's because secular progressivism is at its heart Marxist. Mm-hmm. And I believe, this is just my opinion, this is not AFA's opinion or AFR's opinion, I believe Marxists want a constitutional crisis because they're hoping when they tip the canoe over, they're the ones that come up with the paddles.
Yeah. That might be the case. It strikes me that the secular progressive in today's environment is looking at outcomes more than they're looking at process. And they want, and you see it in the discussion over prison reform, you see it in the discussion here over sanctuary cities, they want a certain outcome out of a decision. That's why you have activist judges that think that they can write the law because the outcome isn't what they like. But what conservatives are much more interested in the process. We want to make sure that everybody lives by the same rules and that those rules are they're followed. If there's a law, it should be enforced. Now, sometimes that law means that if I'm doing 70 and a 55, I'm going to get a ticket. But as a conservative, yeah, I was wrong. As a liberal, well, look, everybody else is doing 70, and so why are you picking on me? I don't think it should be. Therefore, I don't accept the ticket.
Yeah. Not only that, but you're picking on me because I'm a member of a particular aggrieved minority, and that's what the secular left does. It is stitched together a coalition of offended minority groups. I'm not just talking about race. I'm just talking about sexual minorities, whatever you're
defining thesis. Intersectionality is what you're doing, and this is a concept where all of the aggrieved it's identity politics where everybody has to come in and defend everybody else. So that's why you see in the Black Lives Matter movement that they're 100% stridently pro-gay,
right,
or pro-transgender. Now, why? What's that have to do with police illegally or somehow picking on the Black community? It's intersectionality. They all come to each other's defense. The person who's being aggrieved, their group takes the lead, and then everybody rallies around behind them. That's what you talk about when you say intersectionality. It's a new term on the left.
And it's because cultural Marxism takes the old pattern of true Marxism. Mm-hmm. You have the bourgeoisie and the proletariat. The bourgeoisie are the oppressors. The proletariat are the persecuted, oppressed people. And they took that and they apply it to everything else in culture. So the police are part of the bourgeoisie, the establishment that oppresses. That's why, you know, the intersectionality.
You're
exists.
Speaking French again.
Speaking yeah. French. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to give our listeners a little bit of whiplash here. This is not going to be much of a transition. We're going to talk a little bit about music now. Have you ever thought to yourself, I love that secular song, but I wish it had lyrics that were more edifying or downright Christian? Well, whether or not you knew it, there is a Christian band that has been doing just that since 1992. The group's name is Apologetics. That's with an X at the end. Take a listen to a few snippets that we threw together.
A child arrived just the other day. He came to the world as the truth and the way, but they were trained to catch and kill the babe. We learned to watch out and run away.
Help me, Lord.
All right, that's not as good as when I was growing up and they had ads for KTEL Records. Steve,
yeah.
You probably remember
I
that.
I do. I remember
or
those.
Or WOW Records. We want to welcome to the program Jay Jackson, who's a vocalist and lyricist for Apologetics. It's a Christian parody band from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Jay, welcome to the program.
Hi, Ed. It's great to be on. I love those KTEL commercials as a kid. I used to memorize them.
Oh, yeah. Man, I love those. Used to get the KTEL Records. All right, look, right out of the gate, let's talk hockey for a second. Now, everyone else is rolling their eyes here, but in some of your photos, I see you wearing an old-school Pittsburgh Penguins shirt. You think they're going to three-peat this year?
Oh, gosh, that's so difficult. It's so difficult to happen, so we'll have to see.
All right, okay. I try to insert hockey every chance I get. Most of the time, since we're our flagship station is based in Mississippi, I get the board eye rolls, but
that might be number 12 on the reasons if people stop
yes,
liking someone.
That's right. All game. Right, I'm going to ask a question. That we're going to ask and let some of the other guys jump in here too. But explain to our listeners what is a parody band, what a parody band is, and why did you guys start off doing this?
Well, you know, we're kind of like a cross between Weird Al Yankovic and Billy Graham. You know, we take rock, pop, and occasionally country and rap songs from yesterday and today, everything from the Elvis to Eminem, the Beach Boys to the Backstreet Boys to the Beastie Boys, Three Dog Night to Three Doors Down to Three Days Grace, anything you can imagine, and we use it to tell Bible stories. You know, parody is something that's been around since at least the time of ancient Greece, and it's actually been around certain times in church history. People like Fanny Crosby and the Salvation Army did parodies, and we use it as a way to, we have a twofold mission. We want to reach the lost, and we want to teach the rest. So we use it to teach Bible concepts and teach Bible verses and convey the message of the gospel.
Jay, I got a question for you. First of all, I love the compilation we put together. I am a singer as well. And my observation is that it is incredibly difficult to pull off different genres, the same band. In other words, you sound credible when you parody a country song, when you parody a rap song or a rock song. How do you pull it off so that all of those sound like they're your native tongue?
Well, thank you very much. You know, it's just, you know, God prepares us for whatever we, you know, whatever we do. And it's like you talk to a person who's an artist and say, well, how are you able to paint that? And they say, well, it just comes out of my hands. That's the way I see it in my head. the same way it just comes out of my throat. That's the way the way I hear it in my head. And some are easier than others. But I've been singing since I was a little kid. I started in the choir, and then was in rock bands in high school and in college. And you know, so it's just a natural thing. You know, God prepares us all for whatever He's got us to do.
Well, Jay, you guys get the Christian lyrics pretty close to the original. I got a clip here from These Books God Made You're Mocking. It's a parody of These Boots Were Made for Walking by Nancy Sinatra. Let's go ahead and play a clip of that.
You keep saying the truth God spoke is phony, and some things you call lust I can't list. You've been impressing men who could have been in heaven. They'll go somewhere else regretting all they've missed. These books God made you mocking, perhaps you doubt their truth. One of these days these books are gonna shock all those who do.
Now, I got to say, in listening, and I've been listening to you guys for a long time, and just about all your songs are dead ringers. I mean, the Christian lyrics are very close to the original. So how hard is that? How hard is that? Because you're not just taking the song and writing your own lyrics. They really do kind of mimic or mirror the originals. How hard is that?
Thank you very much, Ed. You know, we work hard at it. Some are easier than others. But it's one of those things, you know, it's like God doesn't give you something to do that He doesn't give you the ability to do it. And I don't just mean natural ability, but I mean also, it's like when I was a kid, I got this toy for Christmas one year. It was called Chipaway, and you got these three plaster blocks, and inside there were statues of a football player, a basketball player, and a baseball player. You chiseled at it, and you felt like you were the one making the statue, but it was in there all the time. And that's the way I feel with these songs, where it's like we start working on it, and it's like, oh, God already has this in here. I'm just hammering away with my chisel, you know?
And what was it? Was it Michelangelo or someone? They asked him how he does a sculpture, and he says, it's easy. I just chip away everything, the rock that's not the what I'm making.
Yeah.
That's true. Yes, I've heard that quote, and that's pretty accurate representation of what it is. You know, I can't tell you how many times where you start on a song, and you're in the first verse, and you say, no, I can do something with this and this. And then by the time I get to the third verse, I'll find some line there that rhymes perfectly with what I want. And it wasn't the reason why I started that song, but I knew, you know, God knew it all along. And, you know, and I'm not saying that we don't get automatic writing. I don't hear an audible voice. But, you know, we do stay in His Word, read it every day, and we always pray and ask for guidance. And, you know, we've been following Him now for over 30 years. So, you know, we try to follow His lead.
Jay, this is Walker. What was the first song you ever parodied?
Gosh, you know, Walker, as far as I've been writing parodies since I was a little kid, even before I got saved. The first ones that I did as a new Christian, I can't remember exactly which. Well, one of them was did a parody of Proud Mary called Creedence Through Deep Water Survival. And then I did a couple parodies to teach myself. The Old Testament was a parody of the Ramones, I Want to Be Sedated, and the New Testament, which is a parody of Paul Simon's Kodachrome. But wrote so many, you know, but the very first parodies I ever heard were parodies that were written about me by the school bullies, so I learned from the best.
There you go.
All right, hey, Jay, we're going to let you go here in just a second. I want you to let our listeners know about your website and how they can get a hold of your music and check out where, because you guys go on the road and sing at churches and other gatherings. Let our listeners know where they can go to find some of Apologetics' music. And by the way, folks, it is spelled like the word apologetics, the defense of the faith, except there's an X at the end rather than a CS. Jay, let our listeners know where they can go.
Sure. Thanks, guys. Yeah, we play all over the United States. We played in Mississippi. We played all 50 states in one time or another. You can find us at apologetics.com with an X, like you said. We're also on Facebook. Just look up Apologetics. If you go on YouTube, there's a bazillion videos that fans have made. You can find us on iTunes and Amazon MP3, et cetera, et cetera. We're on Twitter. You know, just remember, it's Apologetics with an X, and you can't go wrong.
All right. Jay, thank you so much for being on the program. I love your music. I'm a big fan. And hope to catch you guys live and in concert sometime.
Thank you, Ed. Thank you, Walker. Thank you, Steve.
Yeah.
All right. All right. That's the group Apologetics with an X. I just love that kind of stuff. Yeah, I love stuff that's clever, and a lot of their music is actually pretty inspiring. Now, I know there's some of our listeners, and I'm not mocking this. Their conscience says if it's got a guitar and a drum, it's not godly and can't be used.
Yeah.
We just have to agree to disagree. But for those who like music, like contemporary Christian music that, you know, is in the similar vein.
Or for those of us who grow up with classic rock and sometimes we feel guilty about listening to some of that stuff.
Yeah, because of the words, because of the lyrics, the message that it's getting across. All right, what do we got here to kind of, we got some additional stories maybe to fill out our half hour?
Let's dip into the snowflake file.
Hey, 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 snowflake.
Snowflake.
My pretty little snowflake.
I want to start at the University of Colorado Boulder. Now, this is Colorado's version of Cal Berkeley, of Amherst, the very left-leaning hippie culture reigns at Berkeley, but they have a new program where they go out and they seek conservative scholars. They bring in now two. They're expanding the program. It's going so well. They're
in Colorado?
In Colorado. The University of Colorado Boulder is expanding its the conservative thought and policy program is what it's called. And so because they don't come naturally, these conservative professors, they get weeded out along the way. But some of them actually do make good points. So this next year, in the 2018-2019 academic year, W.B. Allen and Stephen Presser are the two that are going to be visiting scholars at the University of Colorado Boulder, espousing political conservative thought. And it's just going over like great with students. They love it. For some reason, it's not being protested like, you know, the speakers we hear.
So this is they are being hired full time, or are they just coming in?
It's a visiting scholar 1 year, so they get a year. They're hired for a year, basically. They know it's a temporary, 1 year thing.
Well, I think that's fascinating.
Yeah.
I wish all universities would do that, and I think they would. It would dampen the criticisms that are being rightly leveled against colleges and universities for being hothouses of secular progressivism.
It's just odd that you have to bring in, it's like a zoo where you go see conservative press.
Panda bear. They're bringing in the panda bear from China. It's, 3 months only.
That's right. And then the second stop I want to make is in St. Cloud State University. This is in Minnesota. St. Cloud has a gentleman there named Matthias Eike. He's actually was born in Norway, came here, and he is president of the college's Republicans, and he is dropping out. He is resigning because they put up a First Amendment free speech wall. It's just bricks with little sayings that look like post-it notes, but they're a little bit bigger. And they have things like "In God We Trust," "Trump Train 2020," "Enjoy Capitalism" in the Coca-Cola stuff, "Marriage Between a Man and a Woman," list of all genders, male and female. And it just created an uproar, and instead of taking it down, he's resigning because he believes in free speech in St. Cloud, Minnesota.
Minnesota, that's a tough place in some communities for free speech,
right?
From a conservative perspective. All right, thank you, Steve. Thank you, Walker.
Yes, sir.
It's a great show, folks. Had a lot of, I think, interesting things for you. Hope you enjoyed it. Tomorrow's another day for today's issues. We'll be back with this program, God willing. More great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. And we hope you will stay tuned for more on AFR.